America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about frickin' stocks and bonds. It's about football! It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the frickin' wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus! Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there except meow, 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 and watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Will Ortner in for Jason Swigart. He'll be back tomorrow. If you miss any of the hours of the show or any show in general on The Fan, you can always catch it at 1080thefan.com or the podcast section. Go find it wherever you get your podcasts. We have a loaded second hour in the program. You can reach the show at the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. A lot to get to in the second hour here, Dirt. We have to start with your beloved Ducks.
Hey, look at that. Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. It was all about you. You won 35-0. Purdue stood no chance, though some would say 200 yards on the ground. What are we doing?
Uh-oh. Stop the run.
But they win 35-0. And with that and with Texas's loss to Georgia, which we talked about in hour one.
Yeah.
Your Ducks, for the first time since 2012, are AP number one.
Oh, well.
Nobody's giving you a chance.
Nobody. Everybody's doubting us, man. Nobody thinks we can do it this year. Everybody's out on Oregon. It's all right, though. You keep doubting at your own peril. We're not going to eat any rat poison. Look, we're just focused week by week, game by game, okay? Attacking each one. I'm internally terrified.
Really?
Right now. I hate being number. I hate it. It's uncomfortable. The last time Oregon was ranked number one, you know how long it lasted for?
Week?
1 week.
Yeah.
1 week. They have not been ranked number one in the country in the AP poll since 2012. They got there in 2012, which I would argue of all the Oregon teams, that was the best one that would have definitely won a national championship because they would have played Notre Dame and Manti Te'o in the national championship, and they would have absolutely steamrolled that team. And Anthony Thomas elected to not throw a block down the field, and Zach Ertz was out of bounds, and they lost 17-14 to Stanford and
was
went 11-1. He was definitely out of bounds.
I don't know about
there
that.
There is not a doubt in my mind that that guy was out of bounds.
Period.
Period. Thank you. So there is that uncomfortable nature to it. I was really impressed Friday night. Not that I thought they were going to lose. You were not going to lose to Purdue. Purdue's terrible. But if you would have told me going into the game, coming off that win on a short week with the travel, that you come out and just kind of play uninspired, I don't care to be here football, and you win it 31-17. That was an attractive pick for a lot of people for Purdue to cover a massive spread of like, dude, there's no way Oregon's going to come out and boat race them again, considering what they just went through last weekend. And I remember saying on Friday, you will know how this game's going to go after the first quarter. And Oregon came out and scored a touchdown, forced a punt, and scored another touchdown. And just like that, you were like, all right, they played with their food a little bit offensively in the second and third quarter. It hung at 21-0 until they finally separated late in the game and added two more touchdowns on top of it. Mm. It was their largest shutout win on the road since 1963. They beat West Virginia 35-0 in 1963. So it was something that they have not done in a long time. Purdue's offense had actually been playing better. The backup quarterback put 40 points on the board against Illinois the week before on the road. So really impressed with the effort and the intensity that they played with. And now you got another ranked team coming to town this weekend.
I don't want to belittle some of what you said. I agree largely with it. That was an easy kind of, hey, do you win an ugly little game where it's maybe a 20-point win? I totally agree with the thinking there. I think in retrospect, that Illinois-Purdue game was a look-ahead spot where they were up 20 points and quit caring. And
very
Purdue
well
said,
been.
Hey, we struck lightning in a bottle. Purdue is bad.
It's a bad football team.
Purdue is very bad. Illinois beat Michigan this week, and that was a much bigger deal for them 2 weeks ago, looking to host Michigan. They housed them. And now Illinois comes to your town this weekend.
They do. Top 20 team.
That's it. You know, that at least, I don't know if they can beat Oregon, but that's at least more interesting to talk about and think about. I was having a lot of trouble because I was not one that thought Purdue was going to challenge Oregon in any way. There was no scenario where that was even over 1% chance of happening. So I had a lot of trouble getting up for that game. I watched it. Okay. At least this one this weekend is more interesting to me, where I don't think you have to worry so much about what happened in 2012. I kind of look at your schedule and just largely say, okay, we'll see their tests along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is setting up right now for the Ducks to have that dream season that one Jason Swigard predicted.
Yes.
Of maybe getting through the first year in the Big Ten in the regular season unscathed.
Well, I thought the other thing that stood out to me on Friday night was one of the biggest reasons why I think a lot of people are really high on where they're at right now is they've never had this level of depth. And I think when
That's
you look
point,
at
yeah.
Friday night, well, even you go back the week before, your top pass rusher misses the game. What happens? You have a couple of true sophomores in Mateo and Tatum Tuioti who come in, which, by the way, don't even get me started on the broadcast on Friday night. That was just horrendous for anybody who watched on television.
Yeah, who was it? It was
Brando. Brando needs to be put out to pasture. The guy can't pronounce names. He doesn't do any research going into a game. Like, what are we doing still allowing that guy to call games?
Jim Brando is a very online individual.
He called Tatum Tuioti 2222, I think, multiple times in the first half, and then came out in the second half. Was like, I might have done it once or twice, and I apologize. Like, you did it every time you called his name.
Sometimes I can't tell if he's at the game or if he's calling it in the studio.
He's an actual at-the-game guy. He's not Petros Papadakos. He's the one that does them remotely, but that was just horrific to watch. I digress. The young pass rushers were great last week. They were great again this weekend. You had your number one tight end go down. Patrick Herbert has been an issue for you, catching the ball and fumbling. He's more of a blocking tight end. How do you fill that void? Here comes baby Brock Bowers, the sophomore, and Kenyon Zadig, who finally had a couple of nice splash plays. You have Trayshawn Holden, who I was wondering what the punishment would be. He misses the entire game. What happens? Justice Lowe comes up and makes a couple of nice plays. And so you've had a lot of these depth pieces that are starting to have an impact on the team. And Lanning has talked a lot about that, of there are guys right now who will end up having a massive impact later in the year that just haven't really had to play yet, because that's just the nature of football. Guys get hurt, they go down, and you're going to have to call on somebody else to step in and play meaningful snaps for you. And so I think showcasing that on the road, one of the biggest highlights of this game, to be honest with you, honestly, on Friday night, was the way that the backups played defensively late. They've had times as a backup defensive unit. Think of the Michigan State game where it's 31-0. The backups come in. They allow Michigan State to move the ball pretty easily. They score a couple of times. This game, they did not do that. And they got a pick. They had a couple of tackles for loss. You had guys flying around making plays. Like, just seeing the youth there, it was really exciting. And it showcased and highlighted the depth that Dan Lanning has created, where they can overcome a guy being out here or there because there's a really talented player behind them.
Now, I think 07, we talked about that a couple weeks ago because we had all that craziness happen on Saturday. I don't know if it's 07, and it feels different than 07 for obvious reasons. The BCS is gone. We have a playoff. But I think the season is shaping up. We talked about Georgia, Texas in the first hour, and you know, Texas showed a lot of vulnerability. And also that might have just been, hey, Georgia, when they play their best game defensively and on the offensive line, they're the best team in football. I think what you're just sitting here thinking, if you're a Duck fan or any top-ranked team fan, is just how it kind of feels open.
It does, yeah.
Every team. I'll throw Oregon in that, too, because
we barely
Ohio State
beat Idaho
one.
And Boise in the first. Like, I get you're laughing at this game. I have those in the back of my mind.
I know.
They beat Idaho 24-14, and that was a 17-14 game they had to convert a fourth down on.
I was thinking Boise beats Purdue, and I wouldn't be shocked if Idaho would beat Purdue. But my point is, overall, you've all had, every fan base has had at different points, areas of vulnerability or imperfections. Now, some got their stuff out early. Maybe that's what Oregon did. I still maintain, I think Oregon was really circling that Ohio State game and saying, we can get through these first 3 weeks. And then boom,
for sure,
and then boom, Boise State.
Yeah.
Now, they have found their footing here. But I also think you would acknowledge, and many Duck fan would, if that's the Georgia defensive line, how terrifying is that?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That's an NFL defense, it looked like, on Saturday against Texas. And then Texas, and when they play really well, I think you can just talk yourself into how many teams winning the national championship right now. And I think that's such an exciting thing about Oregon being ranked number one and generally what college football is I don't know what a 12-team playoff is going to get me. Is it going to get me a Big 12 team in the final? Is there an ACC team looming that's wearing orange that got bludgeoned by Georgia that can get to a final? Is Mario finally going to do it at Miami? I think you're open to so many possibilities with the way the season has gone for a handful of teams that who knows right now who is going to be the best team at the end of the year.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
So much of this will come down to, similar to other sports leagues, what are the matchups and who do you have to play and when do you have to play them? Like, I think of my baseball team. The last time they were relevant, they won 107 games. They've never won more games in the history of their franchise.
You're talking about the Giants.
The Giants. Yeah. You know what they had? You know who they had to play in the divisional round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
A team that won 106 games because they were in the same division, and the way division winners, you know, the whole rule breakdown, that's who you had to play in the first round of the playoffs. And so everybody's having fun with these mock playoff brackets of where do you have teams, where do you think teams will be. It's fun to look at it because you look at it and some teams have an incredibly easy path to the Final Four because either you have a first round bye or the two teams that you're playing potentially in the quarters aren't that good. And maybe you now have to play a Texas team in the second round because they're going to slip to like number 8 overall in the bracket. It will largely come down to the matchups, where teams are seated, and when you will have to play them. Because I know that we want to talk about the sport being wide open right now, and it does feel like that. I don't know if I go honestly outside of, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I don't know if I'm outside of 4 teams that can win a national championship right now. Based on what I've seen, maybe Clemson surprises, but if you tell me at some point they got to go beat Georgia, I've already seen that game. I'm not buying Penn State as a legitimate national title contender. They can prove me wrong by beating Ohio State
so
in 2 weeks.
Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State,
in Texas. That's it for me right now.
That's it. Huh?
That's it for me. If you tell me I could take those 4 or the field, I'm without a doubt taking one of those four.
That's a good poll question.
I think the nice thing, if you're an Oregon fan, that you can hang your hat on that Oregon hasn't necessarily been able to hang their hat on is in 2 key positions, there are very few teams that I would take their people in that position over you, and that's the defensive line. obviously Georgia has a very good defensive line, probably the best in the country, but what you've shown and the depth that you've shown on your D-line, I mean, Derek Harmon is unblockable, and he's right there in the middle of that defense. You're going to get Jordan Burch back, and he was leading your team in sacks. Well, when he leaves, immediately Mateo Uyunglele comes in, and he's averaging like a sack a game now. Tatum Tuioti doesn't get enough credit for all the havoc that he creates because he doesn't always get all the stats. And then that's not even getting into the fact of you've got Bryce Betcher, who's a great cover linebacker, one of the best in college football right now, and Bosa's getting healthy and he's playing well. And then the other thing is quarterback. We talked about quarterbacks looking like hot garbage.
Yep.
Aside from Cam Ward, is Dylan Gabriel looking like the best quarterback, the second best? I mean, Ewers had moments where he's looked better, but the minute he faces a real defense, he struggles. Carson Beck looks horrific. Nico overthrows everybody. So you start going down the list, and Gabriel outperformed Will Howard, who's the other quarterback that I think has looked good for one of the top teams. So I think when you have good players in both of those positions, and I make the argument you probably are top three in the country in those two positions, I feel pretty good about your chances. Are you going to win it? No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm never going to write you out, and I think you're going to be in a lot of really close games late.
I think that's the thing, too, is like defensively, you can say Georgia has a better defensive line, but we might be parsing 100%. Hairs between the two groups.
100%.
The other thing, too, is offensively, I think Oregon is better. I think they have a better play caller.
I think they have better weapons, to be honest with you.
Well, they might have better weapons, and quarterback play, you mentioned it. Carson Beck should have lost that game. But his defense, ETN, the offensive line, everything else won that game for Georgia. Carson Beck did not win that game for Georgia. Everybody else did. And so I think that's kind of the hope here is Oregon, when they've been number one in their history, you talk about 2012, different little moments where maybe they popped up. Every single time you've kind of worried, where I think right now Oregon still has to focus on their week to week. They have Illinois this week coming to town. You look at the other teams and you don't feel like you're outmanned. And if you are, it's just the slimmest of margin.
Yeah.
You haven't quite had that. Even in the dream season in 14, where it's like, oh, Cardale Jones is quarterback. We're going to win a natty. You're still worried about the big uglies up front. And Ohio State very quickly in that game asserted themselves like, no, we're going to win. And Ezekiel Elliott's going to be unstoppable. You don't have that kind of same feeling. This is why it is different. It's the depth you mentioned. It's comparing to the other rosters. You probably have, you probably have the best quarterback in the country right now in terms of how he's operating within the offense and what they ask him to do.
Yeah, he had the one pick this weekend, airmailed it a little bit. He's going to have a clunky throw every now and then.
Yes, he has an interception. He's got a pick six on his resume. I think, though, largely, if you comped every other quarterback at these top programs, who would you take over him? Quinn Ewers got benched.
Yeah.
Milroe is atrocious now. Nico's too young and looks inexperienced.
Yeah, he beat Will Howard head-to-head, so I'd take him over Will Howard.
He beat Will Howard. Carson Beck has lost Georgia game and didn't really help them a whole lot this week. Like, I'm just go through the gauntlet. Who is better than him with what he has and what he's supposed to do?
Yep.
I think you have the best situation there. So it's not that Oregon's going to win the title by any stretch, but it's just that you look around the world of college football. And if they handle Illinois at home this weekend, you're going to continue to think about, like, oh, my God. Like, and it's just going to be matchup driven from then on out.
Yeah, who are you going to play and when are you going to play him? How's that going to look? One cool note this weekend, it will be the CBS game. So you get the CBS music for the game this weekend.
The SEC anthem?
Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on the call. So that will be awesome to see. And there's also, like, for me, they have not been ranked number one since 2012. It's been a long time, 12 years.
Yeah.
I know, cry me a river for some fans who have never experienced that. But there were a lot of moments in the last 12 years that you never really knew if they were going to get back to that. They caught lightning in a bottle. It was a moment in time that I will never forget. But when that thing crumbles and your coach has to get fired and you go 4-8 and then you hire Willie Taggart, like you never knew if you were going to get back to that. And you got to hire the right guy. And then that guy's got to want to stay here and not get poached the second that he starts having success. And so there is a deep appreciation of, no matter how this year ends, of you're back there. And for a long time over the last 12 years, I wasn't sure if you would ever get to that point.
Do we have a local-ish hater and not a good time down in Corvallis this weekend? Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.